All right. Open your Bibles this morning, if you would, to the book of 2 Samuel. The book of 2 Samuel. We'll be looking in chapter 16. Now, I'll forewarn you, this is not a Christmas message, all right? I know Christmas is coming up soon, and I've got plenty of Wednesdays and Sundays to preach on Christmas, so we'll not start on the 15th. We'll wait till the 22nd. There is going to be a wonderful Christmas program the young people are putting together for next Sunday morning, so we encourage you to be here to watch that and participate, and it will be our official Christmas service next Sunday morning. But this morning we're going to preach on something else the Lord has laid on my heart, and that's found in 2 Samuel. Yes, I got to turn to where I told you to turn. 2 Samuel chapter 16. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 5. Just to brief you here as we look at, as we pick up here in verse number 5. I'm having trouble. I went to 2 Kings, now I'm in 2 Samuel 6. So 2 Samuel 16. David has become king over all Israel, but his son Absalom has rebelled against him. And because of Absalom's rebellion, David now has to flee the city of Jerusalem in order to keep peace restored or stored. So he is fleeing from there, and as he flees, we pick up this story in 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse number 5. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son, and behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, what should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. I like this guy. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said unto Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth out of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him, and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him, and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. I want to preach to you this morning about this man, Shimei. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank you for this Sunday morning, this opportunity again that we can gather. We thank you for the singing, the praying, the giving. Lord, all that's been done. We thank you, Father, for the fellowship. And Lord, the camaraderie we have because of the Lord Jesus Christ and our faith in his shed blood. And Father, may we always truly value the family of God and the friendships that we have here. We pray, God, you'd bless the message. Give me clarity of thought. Father, give me direction. Lord, as I communicate those things that you've laid on my heart. And Father, I pray you'd make us aware, Lord, of the blessings that we have every day. And Father, the limited amount of time that we have to use them. Father, use your word to speak to hearts. We pray if there's someone today that has put off Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, they come to church regularly. They're faithful in their attendance. But Father, they've never committed themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. May today be the day that, Father, they break down those barriers. They realize their frailty. God, they come to Jesus Christ for salvation before it is eternally too late. Bless your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned already, David now is fleeing the city of Jerusalem. He's become king. Upon the death of Saul at the end of 1 Samuel, David now has been recognized by all Israel as their king, and so he's come upon the throne. But his son Absalom comes in, and by political savvy and by manipulation, he steals, the Bible says chapter 15 and verse 6, he steals the hearts of the people of Israel. He gets them to be loyal to him over their loyalty to David, the king. And over the process and the time and the expense of time, David gets these men to put their faith and reliance upon him instead of King David, and Absalom rebels against his own father and seeks the kingdom for himself. David, not wanting the division and not wanting the strife and the trouble, not wanting to lose one of his own sons, packs his bags, as it were, and he heads out of Jerusalem. As he does, this man Shimei comes alongside. Now Shimei is one of the sons of Kish, a son of Benjamin. He is a relative of Saul, who has just died in battle. He's a relative of the one that now David has superseded or followed in the order of the kings. And Shimei is holding David responsible for all that happened to his relative Saul. And so he comes alongside when this happens, and he begins to do these things that are recorded in these verses. What we find is Shimei is doing something that is well deserving of punishment. And that's what I want you to think about this morning. As we look at these things that Shimei did to David, he is well deserving of punishment. And yet David does not punish him. At least, not yet. And the title of my message is simply this: When Mercy Runs Out. Shimei lived under the mercy of David as long as David was alive. Shimei was worthy of punishment. He was worthy of death. And yet as long as David was alive, David swore to him that no harm would come to him, even though he was deserving of it. But there came a day where Shimei's mercy ran out and he died. Notice, if you would, here in 2 Samuel chapter 16, beginning in verse number 5, I want you to notice some words, and I love our King James English Bible. All these words will start with the letter C, or these phrases, and so that makes it easy. But notice in verse 5, the Bible says that Shimei the son of Gera came forth and cursed still as he came. I picture it this way, that David and all his men are retreating from Jerusalem. Their tails basically tucked between their legs, and they're walking out, and they have given up the city of Jerusalem for Absalom and his rebellion. And so in their humility and in their embarrassment, they are leaving the city. And as they leave, here's this fellow Shimei, the relative of Saul, walking on the hillside. And as he walks, he's following along and he's cursing the king. Now I want you to stop and think about it. Cursing the king. You know what usually happened in the Old Testament if you did anything less drastic than cursing the king? You would have your head taken off. Abishai was not out of line when he said to David, "Let me go and take off this dead dog's head." Because they were worried. You know the story in the Old Testament. If you went to approach before a king in the palace, and the king didn't either invite you first of all, or bid you to come when he saw you waiting, You could be beheaded just for that simple act. You didn't have the audacity to infringe upon the king. Well, here's a man in his anger, in his stupor, as it were, who's walking alongside, and he's cursing David as he went. He was deserving of judgment. Notice, if you would, down in verse number 6, not only was he cursing, but the Bible says, and he cast stones at David. It's hard to imagine the boldness of this man. It's hard to imagine the lack of common sense of this man. That not only is cursing the king, who's surrounded on both sides. The Bible said David was in the middle with some of his men on the left and some of his men on the right. And here's this man cursing at him. Well, the curses have to go through some of those men to get to David. They're all hearing what's going on, and they know that the usual punishment for that is death. And now, not only that, but now he's casting stones. He's picking up rocks, as he goes, and throwing them at the king. I don't know where we crossed the line from sanity to insanity on Shimei, or whether he was there before it started. I don't know. But the things he did are just not the actions of a reasonable person. He's completely inaccurate in his accusations. Notice he says in verse number 7, he calls him a bloody man. Well, you know the story of David. On two different occasions, he could have had Saul slain when Saul was chasing him through the wilderness, and David would not stretch forth his hand to kill God's anointed. David was anything but a bloody man when it came to the house of Saul. Jonathan, his son, you know he's going to reward later in great treatment to his descendants. So David was anything but it. But this man, in his in his anger and in his rage and in his wrath, is cursing David. He's casting stones at him. He's calling him a bloody man. He says in verse 8, God hath returned the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned, and delivered the kingdom into the son of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. This man is deserving of death. Abishai asked the king, can I go over and take off his head? I like Abishai's devotion to the king of wanting to do that. But David says, no, let him go. Let him go. David's showing mercy. Mercy, undeserved. He deserves punishment, but David's not issuing it. Notice, if you would, down in verse 7, another thing with the sea. Not only did he curse and cast stones, but he says in verse 7, and thus saith Shimei when he cursed, come out! Come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. Come out, he says. What does that mean? Well, he's down here walking. He's got men on the left and men on the right. He's pretty well protected. And Shimei, standing up there cursing and casting stones, is bold and brash enough to say, all right, meet me out back in about 10 minutes. That's basically what he's telling David. Come out from among your men. Come out from among your protection. Come and meet me on this hillside. Let's settle this man to man. Now again, Shimei is out of his mind. That man right there, when he was yet a child, took a bear and a lion and slew both of them. When he's about 16 or 17, he killed a 9'6" giant. He has led armies into battle and been victorious. Saul has slain his thousands, but David is 10,000. And now, Shimei. Who? Yeah, Shimei. There's 17 Shimeis in the Bible, according to Herbert Lockyer in his book, All the Men of the Bible. 17 different men. He's just one of these 17 guys. We know very little about him outside of this story. And yet he's got the nerve to call David out and say, hey, get away from your protection. Get away from your entourage. Get away from your bodyguard. Come and meet me up on this hill. Let us settle this man to man. That's what he's saying. Come out. Come out, thou bloody man. It would have not been out of line for David to say, let me take him on. Let me go up there and fix this right now. But David didn't. He showed mercy. He withheld judgment. Look at one more C, if you would, in verse number 13 at the end of this story. It says, and David and his men went by the way. Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed. We've already seen that word. And threw stones at him. And here's the end. And cast dust. Total insanity. This guy has lost his mind. I think when I read that, I think of the baseball managers that get so mad at the call of the umpire that they come out and around home plate and they kick the dirt on the umpire. Like that does anything. You know, all the umpires go, oh, I'll change my mind now. You kick dust on me. I'll put the call your way. I think of something like that. But this is much more extreme than that was. But here's what Shimei is doing. He's throwing stones. He's cursing. He's challenging David to come out on his own and face him man to man. And when none of this happens, he gets so insane and so angry and so mad that he starts throwing dust down there, picking up handfuls of sand and dust and throwing it down on David. He has just absolutely gone nuts. And David would have had every right and been within his jurisdiction, and nobody would have questioned a thing if Abishai or David himself or any other man had gone over there and taken his head off. He would have been well deserving a punishment. But David showed mercy. Mercy is not receiving punishment due. And Shimei was worthy of punishment. But David showed mercy. Look, if you would, over to chapter 19 now in the book of 2 Samuel. With that thought in mind, we come to a day now where the roads have been reversed. The rebellion of Absalom has been taken care of. He's been slain. 3 darts through the heart in a tree. And now David is returning to that same road he took to get out of town. Now he's walking that same road back into town. He's now going to be reinstated, as it were, as the king. The rebellion has been settled. And as he comes back in, there's a certain fellow named Shimei, who now is in trouble. Because when David was leaving, he was pretty much leaving the judgment of the kingdom up to Absalom. But now David is returning to be king again, and Shimei counts the cost and realizes what's going on. Look in chapter 19 and down at verse number 16. As David now is entering, the Bible says, "And Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, and the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him. And they went over Jordan before the king. And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household, and to do that he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan, and said to the king, 'Let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take this to heart.'" Now let's give Shimei credit. He recognized that the cursing and the casting stones and the call to come out and the casting of dust, you know what he said? "Thy servant behaved perversely." He recognized what his actions were. But it says in verse 20, "For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first of this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, 'Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?' Now I don't know if the confession of Shimei was sincere or not." See, that's the problem we have as human beings. We can't judge people's sincerity. Many times people appear to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and we can't judge their sincerity. We can judge their actions afterward to see whether they seem to be sincere or not, but we can't judge their sincerity. Only God knows that, and I'm glad it's up to Him to figure that out. But here, I think Abishai didn't buy it. He didn't think that Shimei's sincerity was real. Oh yeah, he said the right things. He came down and he said, "I have sinned. I have done perversely." He had the right words. But Abishai didn't think he had a real change of heart. And so Abishai says to David, "Let me go and put him to death for this." And David said in verse 22, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should be this day adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do I not know that I am this day king over Israel? Therefore the king said unto Shimei, 'Thou shalt not die,' and the king sware unto him." Whether Shimei's confession and apology was sincere or not, David showed mercy. Shimei is worthy of death when David went out, when David comes in. But David gave him mercy. He did not give him the punishment he rightly deserved. Now turn with me, if you would, over to 1 Kings. The story continues. 1 Kings, beginning in chapter 2. David is on his deathbed. He's turning the kingdom over to his son Solomon. He's giving him some advice on some of the men in his kingdom, who to trust, who not to trust. And he tells him in chapter 2 and verse number 8. 1 Kings chapter 2 verse number 8. David talking to his son Solomon. He says, "Behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, Benjamite of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, 'I will not put thee to death with the sword.'" David is telling Solomon he was deserving of death. He deserved punishment. But I showed mercy. I did not put him to death. Verse number 9, David says, "Now therefore, hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do. But his hoar head bring thou down to the grave with blood." David showed mercy time and time again. When he cursed, when he cast stones, when he called him out, when he cast dust, David showed mercy. When he came back the second time, And Shimei, either in sincerity or not in sincerity, came down and fell on his knees and said, I have sinned. And David said, go to your home. I'm not going to do anything. He showed mercy time and time again. But here he says to Solomon, don't trust him. Keep an eye on him. Watch him. And if he does anything worthy of death, Solomon, kill him. This is the day that his mercy ran out. Look, if you would, down and over now in down in the same chapter, verse number 36. Verse number 36. Now Solomon is king. He's going on the advice of his father, listening to what his father had said. He's calling in different men. And in verse 36 it says, and the king sent and called for Shimei, and said unto him, build thee a house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and go not forth any whither. I like the words in the Bible. Whither, thither, where, there, whence, thence. Be a good time to put a study in those words, because they're not just arbitrary. They all mean something different. He says, go not any whither. You say, where's whither? Well, I'll tell you this. Shimei knew. Solomon said, for it shall be, verse 37, that on the day that thou goest out, he's in Jerusalem, in the day that thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die, thy blood shall be upon thy own head. And Shimei said unto the king, the saying is good. As my lord the king has said, so will thy servant do. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. All right, Solomon comes to Shimei, who's deserving of death, but he still shows him mercy. Shimei, stay in Jerusalem. You're deserving of death. You're worthy of it, of punishment. But my father was merciful to you. I'll be merciful to you as long as you stay within the walls of the city of Jerusalem. But the minute you go out and pass over the brook Kidron, you're done. Couldn't be any clearer. Couldn't be any more specific. The directions have been given. They're understood. But verse 39 says, and it came to pass at the end of 3 years that two of the servants of Shimei ran away unto Achish, son of Maacah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, behold, thy servants be in Gath. Now, I don't have a map up here to show you where Gath is, but can I tell you this? It's not Jerusalem. It's not inside the walls where he was told to stay. Verse 40 says, and Shimei arose and saddled his ass and went to Gath, to Achish, to seek his servants. And Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. And it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. He'd been given specific directions, a specific commandment. Stay in the city. For 3 years, he knew, I can't leave Jerusalem. I can't go outside these city walls. I can't pass the brook and go anywhere else. But one day his servants ran away. And all of a sudden his servants became more important than anything else. And he risked his life by going after his servants to the Philistine city of Gath to go and to bring them back. And Solomon heard about it. Verse number 42. And the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, did I not make thee to swear by the Lord? Protested unto thee, saying, know for a certain on the day thou goest out and walkest abroad any whither, that thou shalt surely die? And thou saidest unto me, the word that I have heard is good. There had been an agreement. It was clear between both of them. As long as you stay in Jerusalem, the mercy of David my father and the mercy of Solomon the king will be upon you. Though you're worthy of death and punishment, as long as you stay within the gates, you'll be safe. But the minute you travel out and come back, you'll prove your insincerity. And that day you'll die. But he risked it. He ran to Gath. He came back and thought he'd gotten away with it. He brought his servants back. But the word came to Solomon. And verse 43. Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I have charged thee with? The king said moreover to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to, that thou didst to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head. And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, and he died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. The day that mercy ran out. Shimei, as long as he obeyed the commandment of the king, was safe. But the minute he decided to do what he wanted to do instead of what the king told him to do, he took his life in his own hands and he ended up paying for it. Mercy was only extended so far. There was a day when mercy ran out. What I want to let you know this morning is that this is not an unusual story. This is a theme throughout the pages of Scripture. From the beginning to the end of the Bible makes it clear that our God is a God full of tender mercies. His mercies fail not, but there is a day when His mercy does run out. Look back, if you would, at Genesis chapter 6. And I know you know where I'm going when I say this. God had created man in His own image. Man quickly disobeyed God in the garden. But God showed mercy. He slew a lamb, shed some blood, clothed Adam and Eve with the garments of that, with the skin of that lamb. And though He forbid them from going back into the Garden of Eden ever again, He still showed His mercy by allowing them to live, allowing them to have renewed fellowship with God through that sacrifice. But from Genesis chapter 3 to Genesis chapter 5, it was all downhill from there. Man corrupted himself upon the face of the earth and only did worse and worse and worse than Adam and Eve did in the very garden. The minute they came out, Cain slew his brother Abel. When that blood was shed, it went forth and other men killed other men, claiming it was in self-defense. In Genesis chapter 5 or 4, all these things began to contribute, and man gets worse and worse and worse in the eyes of God. They are worthy of judgment. They're worthy of punishment. But God withholds it for years and years and years and years. You read in Genesis chapter 5, the lifespan of that line of Adam down through Seth and down through Enos and down through Mahalalel and through Methuselah and through Lamech and down to Noah. For all these centuries, God's mercy is extended to man when they have corrupted themselves upon the face of the earth. God still showed mercy. We think our days are bad and our times are bad, and they are. But can I tell you this? They were bad in Noah's day. They were bad back in that day. And they probably had some sinful practices back then that would probably shock us today. And as God looked upon man, it was only His mercy that sustained them for hundreds of years, yeah, 1,000 years, before we get to Genesis chapter 6. And notice what it says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him in His heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. There was a day, thousands of years ago, in the days of Noah, where the mercy of God ran out. He had been tolerant of man's sin. He didn't punish them according to their iniquities. He was patient and long-suffering. In fact, He even sent Noah for all those years, for that 100+ years that he was building the ark. Noah was a preacher of righteousness who proclaimed each and every day that they needed to get in the ark, that God was sending a warning to them. And if they did not heed the warning, God's punishment would come. Yes, God was showing mercy right now upon them, holding off the judgment, but the judgment was going to come. And one day, it came. The earth opened up, not the heavens, the earth opened up underneath their feet, and water began to gush out from underneath. Then the water began to come down from above. And the water went up so fast, there was no second chance for repentance. There was no opportunity to rethink this thing. That water came up so fast, so many inches per second and minute, that in the panic that ensued, people were caught up in it and they drowned. God's mercy had been extended, but His mercy came to an end. We read on throughout the Bible. We'll not turn there, but we're there in 1 Kings. We're looking at this story. In 1 and 2 Kings, we know the story of the dividing of the kingdom of David. that Rehoboam and Jeroboam divided the kingdom basically, and Rehoboam took 10 tribes to the north, Jeroboam took 10 tribes to the north, and Rehoboam took 2 tribes to the south, and those 12 tribes, those wonderful 12 tribes of Israel, starting all the way back in Genesis, now had been divided into 10 and 2. And God sent prophets and God sent warnings. God sent Elijah and Elisha to the northern tribes to warn them that their ways were wicked before God. And yet for century after century and generation after generation to the split tribes of Israel, God showed mercy to them. He did not punish them as their iniquities deserved and declared and decried. He was merciful, and he said one prophet after the other, though all their kings were wicked, all 20 of them were ungodly and did evil in the sight of the Lord, yet God's patience and his mercy was long-suffering with them. He sent one prophet after another to warn them to turn from their ways, and they refused to hear. They trusted in the mercy of God. We're Israel. God's not going to do anything to us. But there was a day when God's mercy ran out. And a great army from the north, the Bible says, the Assyrians, came down and besieged Samaria. They came and they conquered the land of Israel. And when I say they conquered the land of Israel, you can just think of the worst atrocities that war has ever produced. And that's what happened to God's people in the northern kingdoms when they disobeyed God. He was merciful for a long time, sending them prophets and giving them His word. But there was a day when His mercy ran out. And those 10 tribes, those that survived the onslaught of the Assyrian army, the pillaging, the raping, the murder, the ripping of mothers with children, all those things that happened in the invasion of the Assyrian army, these all came to a conclusion when God's mercy ran out. It was about 160 years later that those two southern tribes, Judah, were sustained a little bit longer, because out of their 20 kings, they had 12 bad ones, but they had eight of them that did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. They tried to reform Israel. They tried to straighten it out. But every time they did, the next king would just come in and make a bigger mess than what the king before them had done. And God sent them prophets, and we read about a great number of prophets. I think 15 were sent to the southern tribes, where only 9 went to the north. But 15 came to these tribes and prophesied and turned and warned them, turn from your wicked ways, from your idolatry, from your godliness, from the way of godlessness, from your way of the heathen. Turn away or God's mercy will run out. Yet they didn't heed the message. And 160 years after the Assyrians had conquered the northern tribes, a king named Nebuchadnezzar came with his southern tribes came with his people of Babylon and came down and did the same thing to the southern tribes that Sennacherib had done to the northern tribes. How did all this play out? God was merciful. He was long-suffering. He was patient. But there was a day when His mercy ran out. We read about a day in the book of Revelation, fast forwarding very quickly. We fast forward to the book of Revelation. And we see that God catches away the church and brings them to heaven. And then those that remain after that, who are down here on the earth, who have disregarded God, who have not thought that God was worth their time or their attention, who did not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, these ones are left behind to face what the Bible calls a time of tribulation. In fact, Revelation chapter 6 describes it a time that the wrath of God is so great that men are running into caves and asking for the rocks to fall upon them and smash them and kill them, to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb, because God's mercy will one day run out. I am thankful that the mercy of God is extended to mankind. I'm thankful that Shimei had a long enough time to have mercy that he could have really sincerely been right with God. But his actions later showed that he wasn't. That it was all show, it was all put on. And then one day when judgment came and his mercy ran out, that was the end for him. You know, the world today, folks, is deserving of punishment and judgment. We speak often about America and say, we talk about the problem we have in abortion, and don't misunderstand me, that's a terrible problem. That's not an American problem. You know, in China, they've been doing that for a long, long time. Their one child law has caused every woman that found out she was with child to have a test done, an ultrasound done, to find out if it's a boy or a girl. And if it was a boy, they kept it. If it was a girl, they killed it. China's been doing that years before America started doing it. It's a worldwide problem. All the ills we have in our nation today are not new. We didn't invent them. We're not that bright. These problems have been around forever. We have just slowly inherited the problems that are in the rest of the world. And with our technology and our intelligence and our ability, we've just elaborated on them. But this world is ripe for judgment. And it's only by God's mercy that we are getting ready to enter into the year 2020. Because just like David, when Shimei cursed and cast stones and said, come out and cast dust upon him, this world has been doing the same to God for generation after generation. And yet God has been merciful. God has said, no, don't do anything. Let it run its course. Let it go. But there's a day for this whole world that God's mercy is going to run out. And that judgment's going to come. It's going to come for our nation. Our beloved nation, the United States of America. I believe personally the greatest nation on the face of the earth. One that has done more to help the other nations of the earth more than any other nation has ever done. There have been empires before, the Roman Empire, there have been the Babylon, but all those empires, everything was done to promote themselves. They never gave foreign aid to other countries. They never sent supplies and relief to other places in the world. America is a great, great country. But folks, we're also a wicked country. And the Bible says that the wicked shall be cast into hell, and all the nations that forget God. What we need to recognize as Americans is that one of these days, God's mercy is going to run out. He's been merciful, He's been so gracious, He's been so patient, He's been long-suffering, the Bible tells us. There's no accusation. There's no way you could have looked at Shimei and said he wasn't worthy of judgment. There's no way you could look at King David and said he doesn't have every right to slay him. And today you can point at America and say there's no reason that they don't have every reason for God to judge us. And there's no reason that God wouldn't be right if he did. And the only reason he hasn't is because his mercy has not yet run out. You know what I pray? I pray it won't run out in my generation. But I'm not a Hezekiah selfishness. And you'll have to know Hezekiah to know what I mean by that. I also pray it doesn't happen in my children's generation. And I'll go a little farther. I hope it doesn't happen in my grandchildren's generation. And though they're not even around yet, I hope it doesn't happen in my great-grandchildren's generation. I wouldn't want to live in a place without the mercy of God. But one of these days, His mercy will run out. There's one other application to this illustration or story, and that's simply this. Sinner, there is a day when God's mercy will run out. Now, I'm thankful to tell you that if you're alive and breathing right now, God's mercy hasn't run out. His mercies are new every morning. The living can say that. The dead can't. And God's mercy is simply that you're still alive and breathing. God's mercy is that you're clothed and fed and in a warm building, in a dry building, on a Sunday morning, hearing the preaching of the Word of God. That's nothing more than the mercy of God. You don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. If we got what we deserved, it would be the punishment of God. But God has been merciful. He's been gracious. He's been long-suffering. But you can't bank on it being forever, because His mercy will run out. You know why people need to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ right now? Because you don't know when that mercy is going to run out. You don't know when that judgment's going to come. Some young person might say, oh, well, I'm fine. Everything's good. And I don't want to be inappropriate here, but Charlene's stepbrother, 23 years old, out for a walk one snowy evening, out for a walk, and now he's in a hospital bed struggling for his life, 23 years old. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James said, our life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. People a lot younger than 23 years old have surprisingly gone into eternity. And when they do, if they go into it without Jesus Christ, their mercy has run out. God's mercy is no longer available. There's some that say, oh, I'm praying for so-and-so that died, and I'm praying that once they're dead, there's nothing you can do. Death is the end of God's mercy for the unbeliever and the beginning of eternal punishment and judgment. There is a day when mercy runs out. I hope that all of you this morning, under the sound of my voice, have no problem with the mercy of God. You recognize you're like Shimei. You've cursed the king. You've blamed God for this or that. You've dwelt in unbelief and wickedness and ungodliness and perverseness. You've been there before. But by faith, you ask Jesus Christ into your heart to forgive your sins and cleanse your heart. And now you're not worried about the mercy of God ending, because for you it'll be eternal. But without that, without the knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're taking a chance that His mercy doesn't run out this afternoon, or His mercy doesn't run out tonight, or His mercy doesn't run out tomorrow. What a fool to gamble with your own soul on how long the mercy of God will last for you. One day God's mercy will run out. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. My prayer this morning is, as you hear the Word of God, you're taken back by it.